May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 283. We'll start at verse 3. 'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? If I love, why am I thus? Why this dull and lifeless frame? Hardly sure can they be worse who have never heard his name. 283, commencing at verse 3.
Let us read from the Holy Word of God, from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11. We shall also read the first three verses in chapter 12. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11, and the first three verses in chapter 12. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant to fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We shall leave the reading there. May the Lord bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now to come before him in prayer. Most holy Lord God, O come now, we beseech thee, and solemnize our hearts and our minds, and fit us to approach unto thee, as thou hast given this place of prayer. O give us true hearts to pray. Lord, without thee, we can do nothing. We're so dependent upon thee. O Lord, who come according to thy word, as we meet together this night in thy name, professedly to worship thee. But O, to be a true spiritual worshipper, worshipping God in spirit and in truth. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thy presence here might be known and felt, that our hearts might be softened, that our eyes might be opened, and that our ears might be unblocked. And oh, do prepare our hearts to receive thy word. And oh, what a wonderful mercy and blessing it will be to sit down at thy feet and to receive of thee. O Lord, grant us then the eye of faith to look up and to see no man save Jesus only. O come and make one in our midst, the master of the assembly. Come and make the place of thy feet glorious. O Lord, do come and favour us here, we pray. O Lord, we look to thee, and what a mercy if we have that true hunger and thirst after the things of God, after the word of God. Oh, that spiritual appetite, give me Christ, or else I die. O Lord, thou alone knowest how we have come, and for many they have come from the busy scenes of life, with all of its attendant cares, responsibilities and duties, whether in the workplace or in the home. But now through thy rich mercy, each one has been brought in peace and safety, with that measure of health and strength, for which we would be thankful. And Lord, thou knowest those who have had to rush to be here tonight. O Lord, those who have had to make, as it were, an extra effort to be here, but having that great desire, that great yearning to be found in the house of God. So Lord, do calm each heart and mind. O Lord, do remove from us all the cares of the world and those distracting thoughts, those things which would catch our minds away. Oh, how prone we are to so quickly take our minds off from the word of God and the truth of God to the things of this world. Oh, Lord, we need thee to fix our hearts and minds on those things which are above. So, Lord, be mindful of each one, from the youngest to the eldest, Thou knowest the needs of each one, the spiritual needs and the providential need. For though man looketh upon the outward appearance, God looketh upon the heart. Those who have come prayerfully, those who have come seeking Jesus, those who have come seeking a word in due season, that crumb from the Master's table, that handful of purpose, or perhaps feeling so unworthy and so undeserving and so far off, and yet have come perhaps like those of Nineveh of old, who can tell? Who can tell? O Lord, might it please thee to meet with them this night, to favour them this night, to feed them this night, that they may go on their way rejoicing. O Lord, and do remember those who need a word of guidance, divine direction, who need thy help, who need some encouragement, who need that strength from God. O Lord, who need thee to appear in matters in their life, mountains before them, and yet believing that these mountains will flow down at thy presence. Those whose pathway is very dark, very trying, very crooked, very mysterious, very difficult. Those who may be cast down by the hardness of the way and wondering where the scene will end. Like Jacob of old, they cry out, all these things are against me. O Lord, remember each one. We pray for the young and rising race, those who may yet be at school, those at colleges or universities or in the workplace. And oh, we do pray, Lord, that they may be kept, and kept by the power of God. Kept from the ways of this world, from all its carnal enticements, attractions, allurements, persuasions, temptations, all from the peer pressure. O Lord, we beg that thy holy fear may be planted deep into their hearts, and may they each find grace in thy sight, and oh, that they all may be taught of the Lord, taught to love and fear thy name, taught to walk in thy ways, and, oh, taught to pray, and taught their need of salvation, their need of the Lord Jesus to save them from their sins. Remember all in the midst of life, the many cares, burdens, responsibilities which at times overwhelm us, overcome us. O Lord, thou knowest. Grant strength sufficient unto each day. O Lord, how we need thee to appear again and again and again in all these various matters. Remember older friends also in their declining years, years of weakness and infirmity and afflictions. Lord, remember each one. And all to be found in the language of the hymn writer, as they draw near their journey's end, how precious is their heavenly friend. O Lord, to do remember each one present, and we pray for those who are absent, those who would be here if they could, any laid aside in affliction or sickness, those in employment, those who may be away at this time, and those with the care of little ones. Lord, remember each and every one where they are, and do be pleased to bless them. But we would also pray for any who could have come tonight, but had no desire, did not want to come, could not see the point. O Lord, could it please thee to touch their hearts, to awaken them, to teach them that one thing is needful. O Lord, do remember this cause of truth, look down in thy great mercy upon them, and visit them with thy salvation. Remember the church here, bless them with that brotherly love, and may they be at peace. Grant them that harmony and unity in all things. And, O Lord, remember the officers of the church, and deacons. Help them in their responsibilities and grant them all needed wisdom and grace. O Lord, add unto the church here such as shall be saved, and also the congregation. And if it might yet please thee, Lord, raise up for this people a pastor. Oh, they greatly need a pastor, an under-shepherd, one to go in and out amongst them, to feed them with knowledge and understanding. Oh, Lord, remember them in this and grant them a true exercise in this great matter. Oh, how it has been said that a church without a pastor is like a flock of sheep without a shepherd. Lord, do remember them in this. But do bless the ministry of thy word here. Come up with thy servants who come from time to time. And may they come as sent from God with that word from the Lord. And Lord, we pray that thy word here may run, have free course and be glorified. O Lord, bless the ministry of thy word. And do remember each of thine own true sent servants. We know not if they have managed to get a minister for Lord's Day. Lord, help, whether in reading or in preaching, but remember thy servant engaged for Monday, and do help him and remember him. And, O Lord, do bless the word here. O Lord, do remember Zion. Zion is in a very low state and condition, and we need thee to shine upon the churches, lest they die. And Lord, we need thee to cast out the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, and also to cast out the ravening wolves. O, do grant to thy people discernment. O, that godly discernment betwixt the sheep and the goats. O Lord, and O do appear for Zion in so many, many ways, and have mercy upon our guilty land and nation. O Lord, what can we say? For we have sown to the wind, and we shall reap the whirlwind of thy wrath, for God is not mocked. And in all the changes that have happened today, the change of counselors in so many, many places, we wonder how many truly love and fear thy name. How many will seek to do that which is right in thy sight? How many will seek to defend the truths of the word of God and be willing and enabled to stand, and having done all yet to stand, and to stand for the truth? Oh, what a mercy if there are some. O Lord, overrule our rulers, and especially concerning the sanctity of marriage, and all that has been planned, all that has been plotted, all that has been sought to do, Lord, overturn it. As thou hast said, I will overturn, overturn, overturn. Lord, we need thee to do this for us. And, O Lord, do mercifully appear. Help us now as we must turn to thy word. Oh, we do thank thee for thy word. Make it a living word. Grant the Spirit's application. May there be that wrought of God. Oh, forgive our many, many sins. Wash all in Jesus' precious blood. And hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive. We ask all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
273. Pensive, doubting, fearful heart, hear what Christ the Saviour says. Every word should joy impart, change thy mourning into praise. Yes, he speaks and speaks to thee. May he help thee to believe. Then thou presently wilt see thou hast little cause to grieve. 273.
Thank you.
in seeking that grace of dependence upon the Lord for his gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 8. Chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. There are particularly two words to me which stand out in our text. The first one being faith, by faith. And then secondly, obeyed. By faith, obeyed. So we have in our text the obedience of faith. That is, God-given faith, as we read in chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author or beginner and end of our faith. By faith, he obeyed. That is, hearing the word of God. The Lord called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, the land of his birth, the land of his nativity. And there is no suggestion that Abraham, as he then was, had not travelled far before. And yet the Lord would have him leave that idolatrous, superstitious land and nation and people to come and worship him, the one and living God, the true God. So Abraham, hearing the word of God, obeys the word of God, and he must leave his family, not his immediate family, of course, but his family and his loved ones. And he must go forth at God's command. But remember, he went forth by faith, as we have it set before us here. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. For he walked by faith and not by sight. And what is it to walk by faith? Well, again, from the next chapter, those famous three words, looking unto Jesus. That is, looking unto Jesus, to follow him, to trust in him, to wait in him. Or as we have it in the Song of Solomon, who is this that cometh forth up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Oh, how beautiful to see the church of God leaning upon their beloved Jesus in this waste howling wilderness. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. And we read in Genesis how the Lord called him. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him by faith. He was called of God. As we mentioned a little while ago, he heard the word of God. And hearing the word of God, he believed it to be the word of God. Indeed, he received it. He received it to be the word of God. And he obeyed the voice of the Lord. And by humble, God-given faith, he ventured forth, looking by faith unto Jesus. It may not specifically mean this, but we see it in this way, of what the Lord Jesus spoke to the Jews, that Abraham rejoiced to see my day and was glad. Yea, looking unto Jesus, he obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. And here in this beautiful chapter 11 of Hebrews, we have this great cloud of witnesses, of those who walked by faith, one after the other, who were all called of God, who were all given like precious faith, who all obeyed in their day, in their generation, who all denied self and took up their cross and followed him whithersoever he went. It is believed this epistle to the Hebrews was written to those who were converted Jews, and yet through the afflictions, troubles and trials in the way, the enduring of hardness, there were those who were ready to turn back. They were ready to give up. They found the way too difficult to be a Christian. They were ready to go back to Judaism. They were ready to forsake the Lord Jesus. And how a burdened Apostle Paul writes to these Hebrews, ready to warn them. To warn them. Earlier in this epistle, how he warns them concerning the children of Israel in the wilderness, who would not believe the word of God, and to whom swear he that they should not enter in to his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. And further on in chapter 4 we read, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Let us labour therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fail or fall after the same example of unbelief. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, you notice that he was called. There was nothing of duty faith here. Or he never saw it as his duty in this sense, just like the verse before, Noah did not see it his duty to build that ark, but they were called. And you can go right through this catalogue, this cloud of witnesses. Or they did not walk by duty, they walked by faith. Where there is duty, there is no real love. How William Gadsby had to fight against that duty faith proposed and suggested by one Andrew Fuller. And I personally have a great fear that this of duty faith is beginning to enter into our churches again. And we need to stand against it. It is erroneous. It is wrong. That wherein, and I heard a parent say to me recently, that their child now in her 20s, who sadly has, we might say, gone wide, gone to one of these places where they believe in duty faith, and a grieved parent said to me, they suggest you can just take the invitations out of the Word of God, apply them upon yourself, and you believe. It's as simple as that. It's your duty to believe. Such know nothing of their own hearts by nature. They know nothing that the carnal mind is enmity against God. They know nothing that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and I'm sure they know nothing of that opening hymn in which we were singing. The Lord calls his people. The appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace, to change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. Only God can do that. Remember saying to that parent, and where is the work of the Holy Ghost? For ye must be born again. And in our text here, I see a type of every true living child of God who is called of God, that is, called by his grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Lord calls his people by his grace, that he might save his people by his grace. And where the Lord grants that calling grace, that saving grace, he also grants that sanctifying grace. And so we have Abraham being called of God to leave Ur of the Chaldees. Get thee out. And when the Lord calls his people by his grace, and as it may be termed, his irresistible grace. Yes, his free and sovereign grace, his matchless grace, his wonderful grace. But blessed be God, his irresistible grace, where the Lord changes the heart, renews the heart, renews the will, and turns the feet to Zion's hill, for he hath said, a new heart also will I give you. And it will be our greatest mercy if the Lord has begun that work of grace in our hearts. If the Lord has begun to call us by his grace. Now, there will of necessity be that leaving. With Abraham in type, it was Ur of the Chaldees. With the children of Israel in type, it was Egypt. They must leave Egypt. They had that wilderness journey. And they must walk by faith, as Abraham walked by faith. And the children of Israel particularly, they were utterly dependent upon God to supply their every need. Or how they had to look to him for everything. To go before them, to lead them forth by the right way, to be round about them, to keep them, to protect them, and to bring them to that promised land. As Abraham must go forth unto that land, being at that time the land of Canaan, then to be the land of Israel, which he should after receive for an inheritance. But the Lord's dear people, being called by his grace, you may see it in this way, they're plucked as brands from the burning. They're plucked out of that wide way, that broad way, which leadeth unto hell, eternal damnation. They're called by his grace, they strive to enter in at the straight gate, which leadeth into the narrow way, which leadeth unto life. Eternal life, that is the heavenly Canaan, the heavenly Jerusalem, that is heaven itself, to be with Christ, which is far better. So as it was with Abraham, so it will be with every child of God. they shall be called by grace. And is it a concern with you whether you have been called by God's grace? Now, the four things we mentioned earlier will also be applicable, will also be true. There will be that hearing of God's voice. As Abram heard God's voice, so the Lord yet speaks unto his dear people. As the Lord Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Two very emphatic things there, "my sheep." But they hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How do they hear his voice? Well, not exclusively, but primarily through the ministry of God's word. And here we have set before us the holy word of God. And this is what we desire to preach, the word of God. And it is the Spirit who takes of the word of God, or takes of the things of Jesus, and applies them upon the heart. Upon the heart with divine power, unction, and authority. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And when the Lord speaks unto his dear people, he awakens them. He quickens them into spiritual life. I believe when Adam was formed, the Lord spake, and Adam was formed. And so it is at the new birth, the Lord speaks and causes his people to hear his voice. And it will come with power, divine power, to awaken and to quicken them into spiritual life. For ye must be born again. There is no alternative. There is no other way. Ye must be born again. That is, born from above, born of the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a wonderful mercy if the Lord has spoken to us and caused us to hear his voice. Now, of course, we can all read the Bible, the Holy Word of God, and we can have that natural understanding of it. And we can go to great lengths in naturally understanding the Word of God and even the doctrines of free and sovereign grace. But we need the Spirit's application. We need to hear the Lord's voice through his word, as the Spirit applies it upon our hearts. And oh, that the Spirit does apply it upon the hearts with that divine power. And there will be an effect. You see, that is it. There will be a gracious effect. When the Lord calls his people by his grace, when he begins the work of grace in the hearts of his dear people, there will be a gracious effect. And one of those effects will be that trembling at the word of God. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and needy and trembleth at my word. Now, what causes this trembling? Well, when the Lord speaks to his people, he shows to them something of themselves. That is, as poor, guilty, needy, undone, lost, perishing, dying, sinful worms of this earth. And in so doing, he shows to them something of himself. And it may be at the beginning, it may be something of himself out of Christ. That is, that he is an holy God, that he is a righteous God, the Almighty God, the Eternal God, and showing himself as a God of judgment. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Or when the Lord shows us something of ourselves as poor, needy sinners, well, of necessity, there must be that understanding of God as he is, the one true, living, eternal God. And there will be that trembling before the holy majesty of God. Or there will be that great fear, that servile fear. That fear wherein we are taught that we have sinned against him. That we have broken his holy and righteous law, of which he said, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Dear friends, each one of us in this chapel has broken that holy law of God, and each one of us deserve to be cast into hell. That we have all sinned against God, not just in word, nor also in deed, but in thought. And our sins are innumerable. And our sins are very, very great. And we have sinned, no doubt, against light and knowledge. And we are repetitive sinners. And in and of ourselves, we cannot cease from sin. By nature, we love sin. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And so it is with a natural man. And how the Lord reveals these truths unto his dear people. Have these solemn truths been revealed unto you? Have you been shown yourself just as you are, a poor, lost, guilty sinner before an holy, heart-searching, almighty, eternal God? And you know that one day you must die. There can be no avoiding it. There can be no preventing it. The old must die. The young may die. But it is appointed unto men once to die. And after death, the judgment. Never mind what the world are saying. Oh, never mind what the heathen are saying. Never mind what the false religions are saying. Oh, the Lord will teach you his word and the truth of his word. That after death, the judgment, that great judgment day of separation between the goats and the sheep, when each and every one of us must give an account unto God. Oh, that great and terrible day. And how the Lord teacheth these truths unto his dear people. And in so doing, he teacheth them to pray. Has the Lord taught you to pray? Now, it's one thing to say a prayer. It's one thing to copy a prayer. It is one thing to pray from the lips. But when I say, has the Lord taught you to pray? I mean from your heart. From your innermost heart. The Lord Jesus spoke of that when two went up to the temple to pray. The Pharisee and the publican. Now, the Pharisee would go with presumption. He would go full of himself and his own self-importance and his own self-righteousness. And in his prayer, he would show before God what a good person he was. What an upright, moral, decent person he was. And really, in all that he said, he was suggesting that he was fit for heaven. That the Lord was pleased with him. That the Lord would accept him by his own righteousnesses, by his own deeds. But how differently taught, or how taught in reality by the Holy Spirit, was that dear publican. You see the difference. You see that one hiding away, as it were, not from God, but from man, to be seen of men. Oh, he was meek, he was lowly, he was humble. He was blessed with that tender fear of God. And he came praying from his heart. He could not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven. Why was that? He felt so guilty. He felt so wretched. Oh, but he felt so poor. He felt so needy. And he smote upon his breast, as it were, upon his heart. Oh, that wicked heart, that deceitful heart, that wretched heart. But his prayer came from a broken heart, a broken, contrite spirit. O God, thou wilt not despise. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Have you prayed that prayer? Have you prayed it from your heart, in your closet, in your bedroom, where none other eye can see, none other ear can hear? Has it been your great burden, not just to repeat the words, but the language? Is it the language of your heart, that petition, that pleading unto God Most High, that he would have mercy? Why? Because you know yourself a sinner, and worthy of his wrath, his righteous indignation, his almighty judgments. You know you deserve to be cast into hell. But that prayer, God be merciful, full of mercy, to me a sinner, full of sin. Oh, when the Lord calls his people by grace, he teacheth them their need of salvation. What must I do to be saved? He teacheth them their need of a Saviour, one who is able to save, by teaching them that they cannot save themselves, and no other arm of flesh can save them. He teacheth them that one thing is needful, that there is one Saviour, one who is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. He teacheth them concerning the person of Christ, that this man receiveth sinners. He teacheth them both to flee from the wrath to come, but he teacheth them to flee to the refuge for sinners. Oh, for something very, very beautiful. It's a beautiful gospel. And yet that soul, yes, it would flee from the wrath to come, but it fears to presume. And it longs for that faith, that true faith. Well, really, every time we venture to the Lord in prayer, that is true prayer, there is faith in exercise. Because we come boldly unto the throne of grace, with that humble boldness. And to the throne of grace we go, firstly, to obtain mercy, and to find grace to help in time of need. Oh, when the Lord calls his people, you see, they obey. When the Lord teacheth his people to pray, they obey. They do not feel with it in any way of duty, faith. But there's that love. Oh, there's that love. We love him because he first loved us. And how the Lord teacheth his people concerning the preciousness of Christ. That is, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. We have that hymn of the lines, who fain would believe him, but fear to presume. I believe there may be many seeking souls who fear to presume. But who are you found seeking? You're found seeking Jesus. You have been taught somewhat concerning the person of Christ. And there is that fleeing from the wrath to come, but that fleeing unto a precious Jesus. You have been taught that there is no other refuge, no other hiding place, that there's no other place of safety, but to be found in the Lord Jesus. Ah, but you fear, I'm not one of the elect. I'm not one of the chosen. I do not feel to be like a child of God. I feel to be so wretched. I feel to be so hard-hearted. I feel to be so carnally minded. Oh, I feel to be such a guilty sinner. How can there be hope for me? And yet faith. You see that precious God-given faith. The Lord grants unto his dear people that faith in exercise. That faith wherein they come boldly unto the throne of grace, pleading for mercy, pleading for pardon, pleading for forgiveness. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. That is to be understood, he went out walking by faith and not by sight. And we read that the just shall live by their faith. That precious faith the Lord grants unto his dear people. Faith to believe in God. Faith to believe in the word of God. Faith to receive that word. And faith to obey. Now, to obey in this sense, to obey the gospel. Look at it in this way. In the wilderness, the children of Israel, when they sinned yet again against God, the Lord sent those fiery flying serpents which bit many of them, and many died, many perished. But the Lord, in his love and mercy unto his covenanted people, instructs Moses to make that brazen serpent, but not just to make it, but also to set it upon a pole and to lift it high that all may look. And there was that promise. Really, it was the word of God that whosoever looketh upon that brazen serpent should live. And it didn't matter how near they were to the brazen serpent, the pole, or how far off towards the backward parts of the camp of the children of Israel, whether one who was very near could see all the features of it, or those further back in the camp could only just see it, perhaps as the sun shone upon it, and just could see that brightness of it. And yet the sufficiency was to look and to live. Now, that type we might see in those fiery flying serpents biting the children of Israel, that type of guilt, or that lively type of guilt in the soul. And where a soul has been bitten, where a soul feels itself as a guilty sinner, and hears the word of God, and seeks grace to obey. That is, in time, you think of that one in the camp of the children of Israel, dying, literally dying, perhaps in great agonies and pain and sorrow and anguish, and yet crawls out of his tent to get a glimpse to that brazen serpent upon the pole. And it must have been as soon as he looked, healing mercies must have been granted, because he would have lived. They obeyed. And so when the Lord calls his people, he grants them that faith to believe, that is not just to flee from the wrath to come, but to believe in a precious Jesus, to look to him. Now, dear friends, have you been taught these things, these vital things? You see, one thing is needful, and it's that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to every exercised, burdened, seeking soul, there is that of faith. We read it, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is the God of mercy, the God of all grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is God, able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. God incarnate, the man Christ Jesus, the mediator between men, God and men, the man Christ Jesus. But that fleeing to him, that looking to him, all that seeking to trust in him, to enter into the Rock of Ages. Ah, is that your prayer? Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Not the labour of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone, for thou must save, and thou alone. Believing that the precious blood of Jesus, which he shed forth both at Gethsemane and at Calvary, cleanseth from all sin. As the children of Israel on that Passover night, we read it by faith, they shouted, yes, in one sense under type, they shouted beneath the blood that was shed upon the door, or applied upon the door lintel and the door posts, signifying that life had been slain, that of the Lamb. But they were also sheltering under the word of God. And when I see the blood applied, I will pass over you. Now, we have been taught well by the Spirit, if we have been taught concerning the truth as it is in Jesus, the truth of his sacrifice for sinners, that he laid down his life, that he shed his own heart's precious blood, for without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sins. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But to be found in Jesus, Jesus only. And we want to know the blood applied. That sweet sense of blood-bought pardon. Oh, we long to know that not only that Jesus has died, but that he has died for me. We long to know that he is not the Saviour, but my Saviour. Not the Redeemer, but my Redeemer. Oh, we long for that great question concerning our soul's salvation to be put out of question. As the psalmist prayed, remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. And also concerning the righteousness, or the robe of righteousness, that the Lord Jesus wrought out for his dear people while he was here upon earth, in his holy life, in his sinless life, in his perfect life. A hymn writer puts it so beautifully. In him the Father never saw the least transgression of his law. Oh, to be found clothed and covered upon with that glorious robe of his righteousness. Oh, to say, my Jesus hath done all things well. Again, we think of those words the Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples when he would call them. To some, it was simply this: follow me. He called them, but the word was applied with divine power. Follow me. And they forsook all and followed him. But let us put that in the sense of what the Lord Jesus also said: if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. As Abraham denied himself. He was 75 years old when he left Ur of the Chaldees. He denied himself. And every child of God is called to deny self. And how true it is that flesh dislikes the way. but faith approves it well. Not only to deny self, but to take up his cross. The cross the Lord is pleased to lay upon them. And what may be a cross for one may not be also for another. Oh, there is that bearing of the cross for Jesus' sake. Yet the Lord calls his people to follow him. You notice that with Saul of Tarsus, when the Lord called him by his grace. Again, I just mentioned this, as Saul of Tarsus of no duty faith there. The Lord called him and he obeyed. And he became one of those persecuted disciples of the Lord Jesus. And yet one of his first prayers, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Not my will, but thine be done. You see, in that life of faith, that utter dependence upon the Lord, as it was with Joshua of old, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Because we have not been promised an easy pathway. It is through much tribulation. There will of necessity be the trial of faith. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing have happened unto you. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But looking unto Jesus, whose way was much rougher and harder than mine, did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? Now also in the life and walk of faith, not only is there that self-denial, well, I can see it in this sense. Often there is that bowing down of sense and reason. The trial of our faith, when Abraham, the Lord called him to offer up his son, his only son Isaac. He obeyed, but what a trial. What a trial. And there are so many things in our lives, like think of Joseph of old, we just cannot understand why. We cannot understand why the Lord has permitted this or why we have to walk in such a pathway. We may find it so trying, so humbling, so difficult. Or we may have mountains before us. We may have huge difficulties, things that are too hard for us, are too great for us. Well, the Lord will keep his people humble. He will keep them low. He will keep them poor. He will keep them needy. He will keep them looking to him, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus for fresh supplies of grace. Looking unto Jesus to supply their every need. Looking unto Jesus to consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Looking unto Jesus to grant us strength sufficient for our day. Oh, looking unto Jesus to lead us forth by the right way, that we might go unto that city of habitation. Oh, let us remember, if we have been called by grace, if we are found numbered amongst the living family of God, there must be that life of faith. That life of faith. From that moment we are called by grace until that moment the grace shall be changed into glory. For here we see through a glass darkly by faith, but there in heaven face to face. Oh, and he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. How often, like the dear disciples of old, we must go unto our Lord Jesus with that same prayer. Lord, increase our faith. And those principal faith, graces, that of faith, hope, and love, being charity. Lord, increase our faith, increase our hope, increase our love, to be found true disciples, true followers of the meek and lowly Jesus. by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went.
Willing, there'll be reading services next Lord's Day, and Mr. Gilbert Hyde is expected to preach at our anniversary services on Monday. Let us close with hymn 1033. In Jesus combine all the riches of grace, what glory and grandeur I see in his face. Jehovah's eternal and co-equal Son took all our transgressions and made them his own. 1033.
And now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.